In this part of this presentation of Bohmian mechanics, we will have a look to the core of the theory. In particular, we will see how Bohmian mechanics represents the state of a system and its dynamics. We will start from the easiest possible system, namely one composed of one single particle. In standard quantum mechanics, such a system is defined by a wave function, psi of q, where q is a vector in R3. I will always write vectors in R3 underlined. Now, besides the wave function, in Bohmian mechanics one also has an actual position of the particle, big Q, also in R3. So, in Bohmian mechanics, there is every particle is actually a point, a true point in space, and it has a definite position. Now, it's important not to confuse small q, that is the argument of the wave function, and is a variable. One can evaluate the function at any position one likes, with big Q, that is actually the true position where the particle is. So it has a definite value, one single value. Now, as time goes, the wave function and the actual position Q will change. So actually, psi is a function of Q and T, and Q is a function of T. The wave function psi changes in time according to the Schrödinger equation, I mean the usual Schrödinger equation of standard quantum mechanics. That is, I h bar d over the t psi of q and t is equal to h psi of q and t. H here is the Hamilton operator that for one particle of mass m in a potential V reads minus h bar squared over 2m Laplacian plus V. The Laplacian is just the second derivative with respect to the position, so with respect to Q. With this equation, one can, given the wave function at a time t0, derive the wave function at any other time t. Conversely, if one knows the actual position q at time t0, this is not enough to find the actual position at another time t. One actually needs also the wave function. The actual position evolves with the so-called guiding equation, that is the following. So d over dt of q of t is equal to h bar over m imaginary part of psi star gradient psi over psi modulus squared. And this expression of the wave function has to be evaluated at the position q of t and at time t. Now you see that to find the velocity of the particle you need to know the wave function. One can ask what is the motivation for this equation? Why does the guiding equation of Bohmian mechanics look like this? Now there are several motivations one can give. One is perhaps the fact that one can ask for the simplest Galilean-variant vector field that can be written from a function on the space of all possible positions. Another motivation that is probably easier for people who are already familiar with standard quantum mechanics is the following. So from the Schrödinger equation, one can show that the following equation is also true. D over dt of psi squared is equal to minus divergence of J, where J is called quantum current and is equal to h bar over m, imaginary part of psi star gradient psi. Now, this equation that I just wrote is a continuity equation, and it means that the quantity psi squared is never created nor destructed. It just moves around, and it moves with a velocity v that is equal to j divided by the modulus squared of psi. So this velocity is exactly the velocity that is on the right-hand side of the Bohmian guiding equation. So you see that this equation comes naturally from the Schrödinger equation through the continuity equation. Now, the quantity psi squared in standard quantum mechanics is interpreted as the probability density of finding the particle at the position q and at time t if you look for it. In a similar way, in Bohmian mechanics, we will see in the next sections that psi squared is the probability density for the actual position big Q of being at the position q at time t. Now, of course, if you then look for it, then you also find it there. Now, you see that given the wave function at time t0 and the actual position of time t0, you are able to reconstruct or calculate the wave function and the actual position at any other time t. Therefore, Bohmian mechanics is a deterministic theory in which the particle has a definite position at every time. The next step is to look at a system that has n particles, that is made of n particles. Now, what we have to do is, of course, consider n positions. So for the actual position, we will have to look at q1, q2, and so on up to qn, and we will collectively call these positions just q. There will be a vector in R3n. This collection of all the positions of the particles in the system is called configuration of the system. Then, of course, the wave function psi will depend also on all these positions, on all the n positions, so from q1 to qn, and then, of course, also on time, and small q is also a shorthand for the collection of all these positions, and it's also a vector in R3n. This wave function will evolve with the Schrödinger equation, satisfying the Schrödinger equation, that is exactly the same equation that we wrote for one particle. The only difference is that now the Hamilton operator is minus sum for k from 1 to n of h bar squared over 2mk Laplacian k plus v, where Laplacian k is the second derivative with respect to the position of the kth particle, so with respect to qk. Beside this, we also have to similarly change the guidance equation. It's just a slight modification. And the guidance equation now will read d over dt of qk, that is the velocity of the kth particle, is equal to h bar over mk, imaginary part of psi star gradient with respect to k, psi, over psi modulus squared, evaluated at q of t and t. Note that on the left-hand side, one has the velocity of the kth particle, so one has q of k. And on the right-hand side, the argument of the wave function is the configuration of the whole system that consists of all the positions of all the particles. In other words, the velocity of the particle number k at time t depends on the position of all the other particles at that time. Now, the next step is to consider particles with spin. Actually, the only difference that one has to consider here is that the wave function will be, instead of a function that has scalar values, will be a function that has spinor values, as in standard quantum mechanics. But there is no other difference between standard quantum mechanics and Bohmian mechanics in the treatment of spin. The reason is that spin is a property of the wave function, not a property of the particle, of the point particle. So the only difference that one has to take care of is that the complex conjugate in all formulas, psi star, becomes psi dagger, the Hermitian conjugate. That is the analog of the complex conjugates for spinors. Now, we can summarize the definition of Bohmian mechanics in some axioms. The axioms are the following. So, axiom number one, there are particles. By this I mean really point particles. So the physical world in Bohmian mechanics is a collection of point particles. It's made of point particles. When we make an experiment, the system that we study, the apparatus that we use, the experimenter, the laboratory, everything is just made out of point particles. The second axiom is, the particles move. To describe how the particles move, we need a new entity. This entity is the wave function, that is a function defined on all the possible positions of the particles, and this function evolves in time according to the Schrödinger equation. Then the motion of the particles is determined by the wave function through the guiding equation, the Bohmian law. These two axioms are the whole definition of the Bohmian dynamics, but if we want to use Bohmian mechanics to make statistical predictions, then we need also a third axiom that is about statistics. So we have to add an axiom number three, namely psi squared is the right notion of typicality for the whole universe. The meaning of this last axiom will be the topic of the next section, but let me add that with these three axioms, one is able to recover the whole formalism of quantum mechanics, of standard quantum mechanics, the one that is in textbooks. And one is able actually to prove that as theorems. This concludes the presentation of the theory, but let me add some remarks about the possibility of making the theory relativistic. Now, the biggest problem that one has is that the Bohmian velocity calculated with the guidance law depends on the position of all the other particles. So the velocity of the particle number k at time t needs, on the right-hand side, as argument of the wave function, the position of all other particles at the same time t. Now, of course, this is a hard notion in relativity, because there is no simultaneity. So we don't know which positions to use as argument of the wave function. Now, the easiest solution is to introduce a preferred reference frame so that one has the needed simultaneity to use this law. This, of course, is against the spirit of relativity, but actually it does not contradict relativity, because one can show that the predictions for the statistics of experiments is not frame dependent. Anyhow, as I said, it is against the spirit of relativity, so one is willing to find a more satisfactory solution. Another possibility is, for instance, to introduce a foliation of spacetime that is defined starting from some other structure already present in the theory, as, for example, the wave function. There are several ways to do this, and all give the same prediction for statistics of experimental outcomes. Which possibility is the right one is the topic of current research.